Shea Home Baptist Church. I couldn't help it as we were sitting there singing Victory in Jesus. I started to picture where different men of God would be sitting during this conference that are in heaven now. There's a lot of them. My parents saw fit to bring me to the conference here at Home Baptist as a child, as a young teenager, or maybe a little less than that, a little younger than that. And I just kind of sat there in awe of the atmosphere. That was as a lost church member. And after the Lord saved me, He said, stop awing toward men and start awing toward me. And it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be with you all. I want to invite you to take your Bibles this evening. Turn to Psalm 70. I would like to extend a thank you to the church for the accommodations, and we greatly, greatly appreciate the room. It's perfect, and I'm glad that my wife and daughter Abby is able to be here. She thought for sure I was going to say Katie. I call her Katie all the time, and I want to. The Lord kind of laid it on my heart early, after Brother Roland extended the invitation. We've been preaching through a series of messages. Our annual theme is Let God Arise. And we heard some great messages at our conference and from men who love the Lord, appreciate their ministries. And but this is something that the Lord brought to my mind when we come together to worship Him. Brethren, we have met to worship. That's the song that they sang. And every word of that song is it's very powerful when you think of the context and what it's like when God's people come together to worship Him. And so I want to preach this evening on the topic of magnifying God. Psalm 70, David writes in a dangerous time in his life. And I want to read all five verses of this psalm. And the script before the psalm begins, to the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. And I want to preach tonight about how we need to bring to remembrance our responsibility to magnify the Lord. To magnify the Lord. Verse 1, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. I read a few phrases here as we read this psalm. Verse 1, make haste. He says that twice there in verse 1. And then he says in verse 5, make no tarrying. Have you ever been in a situation where you would just love for God to hurry up? Get me out of this. Save me from this circumstance. Lord, give that person or those persons what they deserve. Sometimes that can be kind of a dangerous way to pray, knowing that we're not going to get what we deserve. I've caught myself many times in that kind of a scenario, and causes me to be ashamed of myself. This is a prayer of David, as I said, during dangerous times. David is fleeing for his life. He's those that are in, believe this context is probably, I believe, from 1 Samuel 21 and 22. We know the hardships that came upon David. Saul did not appreciate David taking his place, or the one in line to take his place. And there was controversy back and forth, and Saul would just soon have David be killed. And yet in this time of trouble, in this time of trial, David makes a statement that I'd like to focus on in verse 4 at the end. Let God be magnified. David is fervently praying for God to intervene. Those who opposed David said, aha, aha. It's kind of a term. It's definitely not a term of endearment. It's a term of scorn. They were scorning David. They were scornful toward him. And David answers an answer that many times I personally would have answered a different way. And he turns it to God. He said, let God be magnified. David realized it wasn't about his circumstances. It wasn't about the trials that he was going through. It wasn't about Saul. It wasn't about him. It was about God being magnified. And if we could bring this to our memory time and time again, we would probably save ourselves a lot of heartache. We're going to deal with life's issues. We all do it on a weekly, maybe a daily basis. But when we encounter adversity, we need to answer like David. Let God be magnified. I want to notice this statement and a few things about it. I want to notice in verse 4, what does this mean? What is the meaning of this statement? Let God be magnified. This is, I believe, David is affirming that this is something that needs to be proclaimed. David could just think about it in his heart, you know. Sometimes we might refrain from saying the wrong thing, but sometimes we need to say the right thing out loud. This whole sentiment, God knows my heart, I'm sure He does. But as we'll see, it needs to be made manifest. People need to hear us say, let God be magnified. People need to see that we mean it when we say, let God be magnified. It's worthy of the God who created the universe and everything in it. Let God be magnified. And again, we know the importance of the statement and the affirmation to make the statement, but who do we magnify? Oh, we see this all the time, where people magnify themselves. They magnify their own accomplishments. They magnify those who are not worthy in this world to be magnified. I like baseball. But every time I see a baseball player cross home plate and do like that, my blood boils. I say, well, this person's a Christian. My son actually went to school with some schoolmates who went to a church where a Detroit Tiger baseball player supposedly went to church. I don't know if he was a member there. But folks, most of the time they're there for their own glory. This world is out for its own glory. We don't magnify ourselves. We don't magnify Well, think about when we come to church. I remember years ago, I remember Brother Smith saying from the pulpit. Now, folks, if you knew Brother Smith, I don't think he ever hardly talked louder than this. But boy, a man who knew the Bible. And he said, now, we don't applaud here. He was so kind. I'm not that kind. I probably get myself in trouble. I'm more upset. Knock it off. But we're not here to magnify ourselves. We're not here to magnify the musicians, although the choir did great and every special. We love the specials. We love God's people need to use the talents that God has given him for his honor, them for his honor and glory. We don't magnify people. We brag on the Lord. That's who we ought to be magnifying. If there's anything in us worth magnifying, it's only because the Lord is in our lives. Amen. Apart from His working in us, there's nothing to magnify. Amen. I believe the problem of our day is there's such microscopic ideas about God. God is minimized in our culture. And many shrink Him down to their size. And that's what false religion does. They shrink their God down to their size. They want their God to fit in their little box. They're happy with God being just a little bit bigger than they are. We need to think great thoughts of our God. He is the Most High. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's faithful. He is holy. He alone is God. Someone once said, magnification of the Lord always glorifies God. We can take anything man has made, put it under a microscope, magnify it, and its defects and its imperfections are exposed. You put God under a microscope, and you magnify Him, you magnify the works of God, and they become more and more wonderful. There are no imperfections with our God. And so He says, magnify. Let God be magnified. Now, again, verse 4 in its totality, let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. We'll get to some of these parts here of this verse. And let such as love Thy salvation say, continually. That word got my attention. That word got my attention. And when it got my attention, once again, as oftentimes happen when things in the Bible get my attention, I'm ashamed. Continually. What does that mean? Always. Continually. This is a proclamation that should be sustained in our lives. Our magnification of God should not ever cease. Say it continually. Let God be magnified day and night, good times, bad times. When you feel good, when you don't feel good. Wherever you go. But what about, no, magnify God continually. Say continually. Let God be magnified. We're reminded of the cherubim and the seraphim in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy. Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts, and each of them had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not, listen to this, they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They rest not day and night. Well, those are angels. We can always come up with a reason why it can't apply to us, right? It's easy to do that. Sadly, for many, their zeal rises and falls like a barometer. One day they're up, the next day they're down. And sometimes that's me. So it shouldn't matter. God never changes. So let God be magnified. My circumstances change, yeah, all the time. Your circumstances change, yeah, all the time. But God doesn't. Our magnifying of God should not change. It's easier said than done. I get it. But may God help us. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, oh, there were far less times that I said, let God be magnified, than there were times that I complained. Or let God be magnified. So we see a plea to affirm. We see the person we magnify. And we also see that this proclamation should be sustained continually. Now, I go back to verse 4. And who's David exhorting here? I mean, here's David. He's in this circumstance, and you know, and I'm sure as David writes this scripture that certainly he was applying it to himself. But notice he says in verses 1 through 2, Lord, take care of these that are against me. And that's really what those first three verses are about. And I believe David is saying that in recognition of the fact that he is God and he has full, complete confidence that God can deal with his situation. My problem is I'll spend too much time on, Lord, take care of the situation, than I do on, let God be magnified. And so as David is in this situation, it seems like it's just a quick turnabout. Michael Moe's, our church property, we have one of these, they call it zero turn, what is it called? Zero turn radius or whatever, zero radius. It turns quick and sharp, right? Faster than this thing does, and for me. And he finishes with the scorn, the mockery that the enemy lashes out at him, and then all of a sudden, he turns the attention from himself. He's the one they're mocking, and now he's exhorting the people of God. Look at, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Those who are these people? Well, first of all, I recognize that these are people who sought the Lord. Let those that seek thee. You know when we're more apt to be in the mindset where we want God to be magnified? When we are seeking Him. Rather than, Lord, take care of the situation. I don't like being here. I don't like experiencing what I'm experiencing. Right? No, we need to seek Him. I think that's the key to God being magnified by us. I'll get to the magnification thing in a minute. You can't make God any bigger than what He already is. But not only are these people who have sought the Lord, but they also rejoice in the Lord. They rejoice in the Lord. I find myself saying, why am I wasting my time complaining about whatever when I need to be spending my time rejoicing in the Lord? Amen. Anything that I'm going through, anything that we go through is temporary when it comes to our hardships. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not downplaying anything that you may be going through in your life right now. I'm just encouraging us to magnify the Lord in them. It can be done. Rejoice. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Be glad in thee. I met a guy one time. We were in a room of other people. And pretty much it was kind of in a high school, how can I say this, a Christian group. And he's just going around shaking everybody's hand. And everything you said, he said, praise the Lord. I wanted to tell him, my mom, you know, ran over the cat with a lawnmower to see if he would say, praise the Lord. It was just so fake, you know. I think it was a president, I read this, I can't remember if it was President Truman, who was in a crowded room, and this guy was just, you know, yes, man, everything. Yes, yes, sir, you know. And I think it was Truman, and this guy was just saying this all night long, and finally, you know, the president saw he was, you know, being fake about it. And he went up to him and he shook his hand. He said, I killed my mother yesterday. He said, that's good, Mr. President. That's good. You know? Ought to be real. Ought to be real. I want it to be real. Rejoice and be glad. In what? In thee. In thee. In the Lord. And then he goes on to say, such as love thy salvation. Oh, may God be magnified for the salvation we have in Christ. If that's all we have, that's more than we deserve. Amen. They sought the Lord. They were glad they found the Lord, that they rejoiced in Him. They sought. Isn't that, I don't think it's talking about salvation. That's talking about finding Him in every area of their lives and recognizing Him. They love being saved. And they let God be magnified. And they said, let God be magnified. That should be our mark. That should be the motto of all who love the salvation in the Lord. Don't you love the fact that God has saved you from an eternity of torment in the lake of fire? Oh, I believe God's people need to be saying it out loud and saying it long. Let God be magnified. I heard someone say, the more you know of God's salvation, the more you'll love it. God will never love you any more than He did before the foundation of the world, but you sure will learn to love Him more.
Right.
Let God be magnified. Now notice what this statement manifests. How is God magnified? The word magnified means to advance, lift up, to enlarge, to promote, to make more visible, to make to appear big. I think as a young boy, I don't know what boy didn't love playing with a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
It's weird, Brother Gordon. I found out that I liked to play with them when I was a kid. Now I need them as I'm getting older. But we used to make things bigger, and the funnest part was making that leaf bigger. That's not what we were doing. That's not what we were doing. You get that sun shining right in there. You start that little fire. Yikes. It's almost as fun as laying down on your stomach with a little BB rifle and pegging garter snakes in the head. I like that more than playing with a magnifying glass. My parents aren't here tonight. But how can puny, and just forgive my phraseology, how can puny man magnify the Creator of the universe by making Him bigger in our eyes? And I believe we ought to strive to make Him bigger in other people's eyes as well. People don't care about me being magnified. And they may not care about God being magnified, but when He saves them, if He chooses to do so, I'll tell you what, we can magnify Him in our life by demonstrating how He is working in us. I'm going through a situation right now, but you just wait and see what God's going to do. That's kind of where David was at. Magnifying glass doesn't actually affect the size of an object. It affects the perception of the beholder. When we perceive how great God is in our lives, we will perceive how small, how sinful we are. A little girl said to her pastor, she said, after his message, she said, if God is as big as you say, and if He lives in us, then He should be poking out. And the pastor said, that's absolutely right. People should see the Lord poking out of our lives, and our speech, and our actions, our demeanor. People need to see Him through us. We need to make God appear great. And I get it. We can't. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? And is there going to be two debates? Let God be magnified. Let's concentrate on that. This country needs God to be magnified. We don't need this country to magnify God. That's like people saying, I hated it when they took prayer out of school. I don't need a lost teacher standing in front of my children trying to pray something. But the truth of the matter is, actually they never did take prayer. They can't stop them from praying. Anyway, it's not about America blessing God. It's about God's people. The Lord's true churches, magnifying Him, making Him more visible. We had to give in. No, you don't. Make Him more visible. Talk about Him at home. Talk about Him in the neighborhood. They don't need to see us. They need to see God. How is God magnified? God is magnified, I believe, first of all, as His Word is magnified. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That hasn't changed since it's been written. And never will. Why should we magnify God's word? I got three words for you. Well, three phrases. Number one, it converts. It's by the preaching of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In fact, Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Lost people need to be converted. Did you know saved people need to be converted? If they're truly saved, they're saved, but their lives may need to be converted. Their actions, their attitudes, their thinking, the philosophies they live by. And the Word of God will do that. The Word of God will do that. Someone says, they're in bad shape. They need to go see a psychologist. No, they need to read the Bible and get in church. That's what they need. It cleanses. Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God's word will cleanse us. We read it and apply it, and it comforts us. Paul said about the rapture, wherefore comfort one another with these words. When we think about the fact that this world is not our home, we're just passing through, the Lord can come at any minute, that comforts our hearts. The word of God is magnified when the name of Christ is magnified. I won't take the time to turn there, but over in Acts 19, when we see Siva and his seven boys, and they're doing supposedly casting out demons, and Paul addresses them, and they try to tell this demon what to do, and the demon just simply says, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye?" That's what the devil thinks of false prophets. And who are ye? The demons know who Jesus is. They knew who Paul was. And you know what? I think they know who every song New Testament Baptist pastor is. I think they know who every sound New Testament Baptist church member is. I think they know who they are. The Word of God is magnified. That's what Paul did. He magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. God is magnified in the body of a child of God. Paul says, by life or by death. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I read about the Apostle Paul, and I think, wow, how would I have responded in a trial like that? May God be magnified. This is something that some people may take offense to, and I understand if it's taken out of context, but I believe God is magnified when His servants are magnified. Now, notice I did not say when God's servants magnify themselves. We don't do that. But this is what God said to Joshua. This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. You know what we're missing today? Is respect for the men of God. Amen. We're missing that in our day and time. As soon as they find out, oh, that preacher's a sinner. You didn't know that when you called him? Of course we are. I saw the preacher. There's a little boy who was walking up and down the street. Pastor was working on a picket fence. And this boy just kept on walking back and forth and back. And the preacher noticed it. And he finally stopped the young man. He said, why do you keep going back and forth in front of my house? He says, because I want to see what a preacher does when he hits his thumb with a hammer. There's a lot of oomph to that. May God be magnified. The Lord is magnified when a person receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. All of heaven rejoices. May we say with an affirmation, with fervency, and with consistency, let God be magnified. May we say it with our lips. May we say it with our lives. May we say it with our love. Let God be magnified. John the Baptist said he must increase. I must decrease. We need to make the Lord the biggest thing in our lives. He needs to be, and I'm not trying to depersonalize the Lord, we need to just make Him bigger than anything else. As He gets bigger, we get smaller. It's amazing all the things we think are needs, and all of a sudden when we magnify God, He either takes care of them or He shows us that you didn't really need that. And we magnify Him. I challenge us all tonight to ask the question, how big is God in our life? He should be the biggest in every aspect of your life. Every activity, every conversation, every relationship, every prayer, every purchase. It should all shout, let God be magnified. When people look at you and me, what do they see? Do they see the Lord magnified? I pray that they will. Pray that we would greet each day with a question. Lord, what can I do to magnify You today? And then go out and magnify it. Let God be magnified. Amen.